Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. Today, it is finally, Friday, April the 7th.
And I'm Sabri Benishore, in for Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for joining us. Also for Happy Hour, as we like to call it, Economics on Tap.
You have so many plants, Sabri. I feel like we need to at least acknowledge that you are the plant person, if that is going to be the background on YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's either, the plants or just my chaos room. So now it's both.
How many plants do you have?
The last time I counted, I had 100 indoor plants. And then there's some outdoor plants, but I don't count them.
Okay. Amazing. So what are you drinking?
Oh, yeah. I'm drinking a smoothie. This is like 70% of what I consume on a daily basis because I'm too lazy to cook. And because there's no time to cook when you're on like spot duty, when you're like doing the news, like I don't even know what people eat. Ever since I started in journalism, basically I have started consuming mostly smoothies, that's been like 14 years.
I mean, what are you drinking? You are healthy. Well, actually, I was going to talk about being healthy. And so this month, April, is actually Alcohol Responsibility Month. You know how everybody loves these branded months. And I guess It's April because by now everybody's kind of weaned off the dry January kick and any good habits that you may have developed then will maybe be fading a little bit. And so anyway, Alcohol Responsibility Month, just a time and an opportunity for us to be mindful about our drinking. And so I have a mocktail today, isn't it? It's made with alcohol-removed whiskey, a spicy cherry orange tonic that one of our very kind listeners sent our way, and then ginger ale and some alcohol-free bitters, which are actually a thing that exists. And So it's quite tasty. You know, it's not a alcoholic drink. I'm not going to say it tastes the same, but it does taste good. So there's that. Oh, and so I was at this event at the press club a couple weeks, maybe a month or so ago, from one of these groups that promotes alcohol awareness, especially trying to prevent underage drinking with teens. And they actually have this app where you can plug in what you ate, what you're drinking, how tall you are, how old you are, how much you weigh, and it will estimate what your blood alcohol level is. And like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And so like, you know, you have your different limits of what you're supposed to drive. Obviously, it's not like perfect or scientific, but it kind of gives you a range. And they were doing like these breathalyzer tests because they were serving drinks, but only two because that's a healthy amount. They were serving drinks and then snacks because they said, contrary to urban legend, it is not starchy foods or greasy foods that help you to not be hungover or to absorb the alcohol. It's actually protein, foods.
Oh, interesting.
So all that popcorn I ate to, you know, soak up the booze over the years, yeah, did nothing. Mm. So basically, anyway, so you can plug in what you ate and it'll tell you what it did to your blood alcohol level. So yes, I have a mocktail and,
No, there's so many times in my life I feel like that would have been useful, but yeah. Well, you know what you can do that actually helps if you ever get hangovers is,
Well,
I would always drink like a full glass of water, try just drink as much water, but have like six vitamin B complexes at the same time before you go to bed, basically. Mm-hmm. And it worked. I would say it worked for a few years until my like body finally rejected alcohol in my 30s.
Hey, it's healthier. That's real healthy. All right, let's move on to the news fix. We've been going on way longer.
Okay.
Sabri, why don't you go first?
Okay. So I saw an article in Foreign Policy magazine by Adam Posner, who's the head of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. And the title is America's Zero-Sum Economics Doesn't Add Up. And basically, it's a critique of all the, basically protectionism that the U.S. is engaged in largely as a response to China and the supply chain breakdowns in the pandemic. We're investing a bunch in chips. We're trying to promote our domestic industries as much as possible, slapping tariffs on China. And it's kind of a warning, that usually many of these things have a real potential to backfire. When you start putting your thumb on the scale too much for your own domestic industries, it can create a lot of inefficiencies. It can obviously alienate your allies, right? You know, mm-hmm. we have benefits for electric vehicles that really, really pissed off Korea and Europe.
Mm-hmm,
and
I'm sure.
These are not the people that you want to be pissing off, you know? He also argues that it's kind of, it can drag productivity and innovation if you start interfering in the market. And he made one really interesting point, which was, the U.S. administration is sort of obsessed with maintaining technological innovation, but you don't necessarily have to invent something to benefit economically from it. So he gives some examples of some technologies which we did not necessarily invent, but we then jumped on and used, and it created mm-hmm. great productivity for us, whereas other countries, even the ones who invented it, kind of lagged because they didn't promote, the commercialization of these things. It's an interesting read. It's an interesting read because we are in a moment where there is this emerging consensus around industrial policy and that we need to do it, and that, China is mm-hmm. committing all this industrial espionage, trying to promote its own technological development. It's created a lot of fear, much of which is perfectly justified. But when you're in a moment where everyone seems to be largely on the same page, that's usually a time when you want to question the page,
Right.
Just a little.
Nicely said.
So it was
nicely said.
It was an interesting critique that I think had some great points.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back and read that. I haven't had a chance to yet. So my news fix is about the ongoing drama in Tennessee. And you've sort of seen this percolating in the background. You've seen the headlines, but maybe didn't read too deeply into it. So if you go to the links on the show page, we have a couple links from local journalists talking about this, which I always think is the best way to, get the intel. And the, too long don't read situation is after that horrible shooting in Nashville. There were three Democratic lawmakers who were state lawmakers who were protesting on the floor in session about gun control, trying to push for more gun control. And the Republicans who control that state legislature did not like it, and they voted to expel two of them. And that's pretty unprecedented, to expel members of state legislatures over protesting as opposed to some of the other things that people have been expelled for, as pointed out in this Twitter thread. Hold on, let me pull that up again.
Yeah, it was like they've only expelled like two people in 157 years, and they were for like major
things.
Yeah,
here we go. So this is from Holly McCall. She says, the last time a representative was expelled was in 2016, a Republican who sexually assaulted or harassed at least 22 women. The state attorney general investigated and confirmed he was only expelled after he was pushed out by the GOP primary and considered unhelpful. And so this is, you know, there. And then she says, this wasn't about decorum. People who peed in chairs, were convicted of domestic assault, bugged their colleagues' offices, sent racist and sexist texts with staff members, admitted to sexually assaulting high school girls they coached, were not expelled. And these lawmakers were. We talk a lot about national politics on the show, on Marketplace, and it's just worth remembering that when it comes to people's day-to-day lives and some of the decisions that really are going to impact what happens in your schools, in your communities, it's really those state-level politics and those local politics that matter. And, you know, we ignore what's happening in our state legislatures to our great detriment. And, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris apparently made a surprise visit to see these lawmakers today. And I hope this is not a sign of things to come in terms of a way to silence opposition in various levels of government. So that was a downer. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sabri. What were you going to say?
No. I mean, it's just like it's just very telling that there, I don't know, whatever sense of comedy that probably once existed in that legislature, you know, where it's like, look, we're all here to do a job. We're all here to represent our constituents. Like, let's, you know, I don't know, a certain amount of forbearance amongst what might be like a type of community in a way. That's gone. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about the level of animosity in this state legislature that led to this outcome. I mean, it's not a good look, honestly.
Okay. I know that we're already running kind of over on time, but before we get to half full, half empty, you have to tell everyone the story about your ceramics.
Oh, my God. Okay, so like two or three, I make ceramics on the side. That's just my side gig, hobby, whatever, and I teach it. And so like 2 or 3 years ago, this woman contacted me on Instagram and was like, hi, I would like to buy one of your bowls. And I was like, okay. And we sort of negotiated on the price. And she was like, because this is going to be, you know, this is going to be in a movie. And I'm like, what movie? And so then she had me sign a non-disclosure agreement that said, oh, this is going to be in Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm like, I don't barely even know what Dungeons... Why did you make me sign an NDA? I barely know what Dungeons and Dragons is. What is this like made for TV movie? And it was being filmed in Ireland. I was like, great. Some local movie on local Irish TV is like whatever. So I gave her the bowl. And turns out the movie was the Dungeons and Dragons movie, like the actual movie. And I just found that out like a month ago. And I was like, what? And so we went to go see the movie. And I couldn't even pay attention to the plot for the first like 35 minutes because I was like, is that my bowl? And then finally, it was my bowl. And I was like, and me and my boyfriend were both watching it, and we both like were like, like at a totally non-dramatic moment in the movie. Like everyone else is just like a very non-important part of the movie, but us two were like, but it's only in it for like 2 seconds. But that's fine.
Doesn't
I'm gonna
matter.
Take it.
It's still
I'm gonna
there.
Run with it. I'm gonna, as far as I'm concerned, I made a cameo appearance in a major movie.
Yes, you did. Good for you, Sabri. If you have a photo of that specific bowl from before you sold it, you should share it so we can put it on the show page, just because I know everybody wants to see it.
Oh, yeah, I can do
that. All right. At long last, let's move on to, well, no, I'm sorry. We need to take a break now. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to play a round of Half Full, Half Empty.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.
Okay, this is Half Full, Half Empty, where we go through some of the news topics from the week, and you tell us, and we tell you, how we're feeling about them, and it's hosted by our very own Drew Jostad.
All right, are you half full or half empty on Twitter, replacing the bird logo with a Doge meme?
I'm so empty on so many things related to Twitter. It's just all so childish. Don't want to give it any more oxygen. Empty. Sabri?
Empty. I have, even as a joke, it's just, it's like,
it's not funny anymore.
It's not even funny. It's just dumb. Yes.
It's just dumb. All right, next.
All right. Are you half full or half empty on avoiding higher egg prices by decorating potatoes for Easter?
I've heard a couple of people talking about this. Have you heard about this, Sabri?
I have not heard about this.
So I guess apparently people are decorating potatoes. I mean, if you think about sort of the logic of decorating a food item, a potato is, I suppose, as logical as an egg, although my very Christian upbringing tells me not, because, you know, in that environment, they told us the egg, the different parts of the egg represented the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it was the duality all in one. Yeah, that was sort of how they related the egg to Easter, because it represented not duality, but how three things could exist in one, and so God could be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just like an egg can have the yolk, the white, and the shell. Very religious.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. I thought that it was just, I thought maybe it was some like pagan holdover about some magic rabbit that laid eggs or something.
It absolutely is a pagan holdover.
Made it.
Yeah.
I see. Yes. Oh, that's so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Potatoes.
Yeah, on potatoes. No, I'm totally full on that. That's very like both, frugal? And artsy, because you could probably carve a potato. There could so much you could do with a potato. I'm so full on that.
Do you ever make the potato stamps where you like cut them in half and you carve something in it and then you dip it in paint and you make it into a stamp?
I think I read about doing it, but I never did it.
Okay. All right. I'll go half full. Why not? What's next?
Half full or half empty on the banking crisis being a boon for cryptocurrency.
I don't think it's that much of a boon. Like, call me when Bitcoin is at like 60,000 or something. But I think there's probably some. I guess I just don't trust it, I guess. I think it's going to take more than that to like revive crypto, honestly. So I don't have that game.
I'm so mistrustful of crypto that I think I also have to be half empty on that. yes. All right. I think that we are ready for our last topic, which we can let our YouTube audience weigh in on. Is that right, Drew, or did I skip one?
Nope, you're right.
Okay, cool. So everybody in the YouTube live stream, get ready. On this one, Sabria and I are going to withhold our judgment as much as we can. You may see it on our faces, our bad. But you can vote in the YouTube live stream for whether you're half full or half empty on the following topic. Go, Drew.
Okay, so the Super Mario Brothers movie came out this week. So are you half full or half empty on video game adaptations for film and television?
Man. Looking for the poll. I think they're going to post it in just a minute. There it is. There's the poll. All right, so folks in the YouTube live stream can vote. I wonder what the Tetris movie counts as. Like, Super Mario Brothers movie is obviously a video game adaptation. The Last of Us video game adaptation, Final Fantasy over the years. But I wonder, like, if you're talking about the movie Tetris, which is about the development of the game, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, Sabri. So
I didn't know there was a Tetris game.
There's a movie, you didn't know there was a Tetris about
movie. Yeah,
there's a Tetris movie about how I guess it was like this Cold War espionage thing all tied up in the original code for Tetris, involving like some American huckster going over there trying to get the game and trying to work with, you know, Japanese game makers about the Game Boy and all these things, and it's this big adventure. So, you know, I guess it's a video game ish movie. But we have 122 more votes coming in. Everybody vote. We're going to wind it down. And 125 feels like a good number. Sabri, you half full, half empty on video game movies.
I am half full on that. I'm probably more than half full. No, I think it's cool. The Last of Us was great, although the ending was traumatizing. Last was so cool. What else has there? No, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go half full just because I typically find those kind of movies entertaining. Even though I'm not a big gamer, I like watching the movies of them. So I'm going to go half full. So yeah, that's fun. All right. Well, thank you everybody for voting. And we have the results of the poll in terms of the rise of video game adaptations. Our crowd is half empty at 58% and half full at 41%. So I guess people aren't fans of the video game adaptations.
You know, it's probably because we're both not like super gamers. Because I bet if you are a gamer, you probably have a lot invested in the game version and you see the movie and it's like, it's nothing like the game. Like this pales and this is a shell of the masterpiece that I know and love. That's probably it.
All right. Well, that is it for us today. We will be back next week. But before we go, we have a big favor to ask. If you missed it, Make Me Smart has been nominated for a Webby Award, and we are so excited about it. But we are not going to be able to win without your support. Right now, we're in like third place, and we'd love to actually win it. It means a lot. So you can vote for us by going to marketplace.org/vote MMS, as in like Make Me Smart. And you can also, we're also going to have the link in our show notes. So if you could vote for us, we would appreciate it. And thank you.
And you can leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART or email makemesmart@marketplace.org.
you at least rock a little bit? Kai never even moves on music. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, who wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty, and Antonio Barreras is our intern.
The team behind Our Friday Game is Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune, and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our acting senior producer. Bridget Bodnar is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
Nice timing, Sabri. Well done.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.